I mix what I like.
All right, what's up, world? Welcome back to another edition of I Mix What I Like. imixwhatilike.org for more information on this show and more. Again, I'm Jared Ball, happy to be your host. I'm happily joined, you know, for many years now, people who have heard me do this show, do these programs, have heard me always sign off by saying, as Fred Hampton used to say, to you we say peace if you're willing to fight for it. But I've been remiss in only in one other occasion having the chance to interview his son, Fred Hampton Jr., who has been for a long time an activist, a political prisoner himself, an abolitionist activist, and most notably working more, at least most recently working with the Prisoners of Conscience Committee, POCC, and involved with several other ventures that we want to talk with him about, including his previous work in friendship and comradeship with Malcolm X's grandson, Malcolm Lateef Shabazz, whose birthday would have been this week on October the 8th. Fred Hampton Jr., thank you again for joining us. Welcome to the program.
Right on. Thank you for having me. Right on.
Well, as I said, you know, it's long overdue, and I greatly appreciate you taking the time. I know you're doing a lot of work up there and up early out there on the West Coast, and so, thank you for joining us. If you would, let's start with the work you're doing now, and then we'll double back and talk about your late comrade, Malcolm Lateef Shabazz. But what is the event that you are all preparing for right now, and some of the work that it's meant to represent and bring light to?
Oh, yes, indeed. Well, let me preface with this. I'm honored and humbled to chair the POCC/BPPC, which is an acronym for the Prisoners of Conscience Committee, Black Panther Party Cubs. Again, Prisoners of Conscience Committee, Black Panther Party Cubs. In fact, one of our mantras is that we are the great-grandchildren of Garvey and our offspring of Malcolm and the ideological cubs of the Black Panther Party, an organization which the Black Panther Party being, you know, one of the most revolutionary organizations we witnessed. In fact, we're on the heels of embarking upon what would be the 50th year anniversary of that organization, the Black Panther Party, which was started in October 1966 by Minister UEP Newman, then Chairman Bobby Seale. With the Black Panther Party Club, you say it's a tough act to follow, but we try our best. It's an organization, it's a legacy that has been continuously attacked by a myriad of different dynamics, whether not just by the usual suspects, in other words, not just by the state directly, but through its various apparatuses, the media, revisions of history, you name it. And we feel it's important that legacy be maintained, it provided a prototype or a template for the people, the mass of the people, to be able to fight for their precious entity of self-determination on our own terms. I feel fortunate to fall from the tree of two freedom fighters, that of Deputy Chairman Fred Hampton, also of Akua and Jerry, formerly known as Deborah Johnson. Under the leadership of Chairman Fred, State of Illinois became the largest chapter of the Black Panther Party. And this is an organization that didn't fade away. It was intensely attacked by the infamous COINTEL program, the counterintelligence program. In fact, a lot of those same tactics are still operate today, though it may be more Machiavellian. We say the COINTEL Pro is still happening. In fact, a lot of times we refer to it as now Intel Pro. And so we're dealing with a lot of the same issues that the Black Panther Party was grappling with, ranging from the fight for release of political prisoners, to that of the issue of police terrorism, that many people still euphemistically refer to as police brutality, just to the we don't care health system, to the number of different dynamics, you know what I'm saying? We still fight for that same precious entity, that of being self-determination.
First of all, thank you for checking me on that. I certainly didn't mean to omit or slight your mother, and salute to her and all her continuing good work. I appreciate you just making sure that was clear. But thank you for that background and that catch up. If you would now, let's talk a little bit about what's coming up here on October 8th, which would have been the birthday of Malcolm Lateef Shabazz. Not enough attention has been paid, I think, to the work he did in his life or what he was doing at the time of his death, or what I've seen and others have described as an assassination. There's been a lot of chatter on and off record about what really went on with his death. Tell us what you can, if you would, first about his life and his work and his legacy, and then what you can about what actually went down there in Mexico, even as we get news reports of the arrests and convictions of those involved with his death.
Let me state this. The background. I'm a former political prisoner, also, and even when I was held captive, you know, there was contradictions that, although the state's attorney, the state itself acknowledged me as being a political prisoner, there was certain forces and certain entities that even, you know, tried to struggle. We don't know if this is, you know, see, these are political prisoners, I studied different cases, whether myself, Tupac Shakur, and so many other forces, that this system, it has a long range memory, and just, you know, just even being an offspring, it studies lineage, it studies DNA, and in fact, in many cases, this system may know an individual's potential if the particular individual does, regards they know their potential or not. And in fact, I say, in eyes of the state, I'm a three-strike offender. One, for simply being African. Two, for being the son of Chairman Fred Nkua and Jerry. And three, for continuing to fight for liberation of my people. So, hearing about the case from Malcolm Shabazz when he was locked up, I thought it was imperative that we implement what we refer to as the one prisoner, one contact campaign, that we correspond with them, and that we take into account. This is the oldest male heir, the grandson of Malcolm Shabazz, Malcolm X, El Hashim El Shabazz, and that again, this state they study again bloodlines, you name it, and so just once our people in general, our community in general, is being targeted by the infamous the counterinsurgency, so we are under attack in general, but then again, to add to that, you know, so the people who stood up, as I mentioned, they study all that. They attack that. So I thought it was important that we reach out and correspond, and just for a number of reasons. Well, one, just to send a message for the morale support and security question of him and others who held captive, but to the state that, you know, we also must have a long range memory. So we had corresponded when he was held captive. When he got out, we the POCC. BBPC, we struggled with citizens, a number of different things. Was going to set up a speaking tour in regards, you know, say, even just a number of different things, but in particular that, you know, say, of the legacies of dynamics such as that of Malcolm X, the dynamics such as that of Black Panther Party that were and remained to be under attack. And I mean, and just even in regards about talking about doing that tour, we've seen intensified moves being made by the state to disrupt, you know, saying subsequently, you know, saying dismantle this, you know, saying this potential merger, this tour, and not just from the usual suspects, not just by the state directly, but external and internal forces. And a lot of contradictions were exposed. You know, saying the infamous counterinsurgency reared its head in a lot of places. You know, saying with agent provocateurs, subsequent assassinations, and that's how it should be defined in regards to the case of Malcolm Shabazz as an assassination. And though the political climate is not now to the point we've seen, a lot of people were able to sum up, you know, assassinations of political prisoners of that of the 60s, but these type of dynamics still exist, and it's important that we struggle, even when it's not popular, to put this correct political context what happened. You know what I'm saying? But again, the case of Malcolm Shabazz, even prior to him being assassinated, and you go check on some stuff, some notes that he himself had documented with different law enforcement agencies, with arrest, no surveillance. These are things that a lot of people tend to dismiss as way back in the 60s or just during the era of the former director of the FBI, J. Edgar Hoover. But this case of Malcolm Shabazz and so many other cases is a graphic depiction of the continuing counterinsurgency.
Well, Fred Hampton Jr., I greatly appreciate you taking some time to shed some light on all of this as best you can in this short, you know, this short conversation. If you would tell us where people can go to follow up on what you've said and learn more about your work and maybe find that research that you were talking about young Malcolm had been involved in collecting.
Yes, indeed. Thanks for giving us the opportunity, and it's important that we put this in some concrete forms, tangible forms, and we don't talk about the counterinsurgency in some sort of abstract type of way. But please go to our blog spot, www.chairmanfredjr.com, www.chairmanfredjr.com. And in Pacific, specifically, the defection of Cleveland Valray Jr., the defection of Cleveland Valray Jr., go to that. It's a piece in which you address a number of different contradictions, but also in the latter part about some of the dynamics that were put in place and individuals that played a role were disrupting the potential working, in the tour, amongst other things, with Malcolm Shabazz. Again, www.chairmanfredjr.com, and then you go specifically to find, or you just can Google the defection of Cleveland Valray Jr.
All right. Well, thanks again. And as always, man, as your father used to say to you, we say peace if you're willing to fight for it. And definitely peace to you, your mother and your comrades. And we'll catch you in the whirlwind, my man. And thanks again.
Thank you. Thank you. Love respect to you, to the listeners, and to the people in general. Freedom all, we say forward to the 50th. Right on. Power to the people.
I mix what I like. What I like. What I like.